episode 102 for the week of August 21st, 2016. I had to look that up really quick. My name is Lior. Today we're going to talk about the hype and expectation cycle in games, particularly in relation to the release of No Man's Sky. I also hear that Era's been playing a little Overwatch, and she kind of loves it. And I've been playing Legion still, because I can't help it. I just can't help it. But with me today, as usual, are my two co-hosts, Aralade and Elindriel. Ellie, how has your weekend been?
Pretty good.
I got to finally see the Star Trek movie.
There were a lot of little things that I liked about the movie. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was super interesting. I said this after I saw it, and I still firmly believe this, that there is no one working right now who's as good with an ensemble as Justin Lin. Which, I mean, Lior can back me up on this because she's seen all the recent Fast and the Furious movies. Seriously, he's so good with an ensemble, with giving everyone a moment, with a giant cast of people, and being able to make the audience care about all of them. Which is a real gift. You can compare it to any of the giant superhero team movies, and they all suffer by comparison. They're not nearly as good with giving you the people you care, making you care about all of these people doing all of these things, both together and separately. And I think Justin Lin is really good at that.
Yeah, that was definitely something that Talon and I came away being happy with, is how this movie, like, Into Darkness was very much Kirk and his one bro, Spock, with, like, some other people showing up occasionally to help out. But this was very much about the whole crew, and that was really cool. I mean, you know, maybe not, like... I mean, there were even sort of crewman number five sort of people.
Well, yeah, it's Star Trek.
But just the bridge crew, almost everybody got some good
right.
time. I think Uhura kind of suffered in this movie, but...
I don't, because she had... Has it been long enough that I can talk about spoilers?
I'm sorry. I'm going to be that person. Can we maybe not do spoilers?
Okay, we won't have to do spoilers. Even when I was a little kid, when I was a little girl, Uhura was one of my heroes, and I wanted to go into linguistics to be like Uhura. And yeah, Lior is nodding. Exactly. I wanted to work for the UN and translate and learn about languages and people and how they related because of Uhura. And the fact that they pulled that into this movie and, like, she saves the day because she's a linguistics genius makes me so happy in my shriveled black heart. It grew 3 sizes and exploded from my broken shriveled chest. And that was really wonderful. And thanks, Justin Lin. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. Don't know if I'd seen any previews. I saw the very first preview that we all saw and thought was ridiculous. With the, like, motorcycle jump explosion in the background thing. And then it, like, threw up by the director of the Fast and the Furious or whichever one he did. And we're like, oh my god, what is going on here? I guess I had probably seen another trailer after that. But this, you know, I went in kind of with relatively low expectations because of the Fast and the Furious Justin Lin.
Oh, now see, that was your mistake.
No, it's actually good because it made me enjoy this movie, right? Like, if I go in with high expectations and the movie is the exact rehash that they said that it wasn't going to be, see previous Star Trek movies, you know, I was disappointed. But this one, I was very much surprised, and I had a really good time. And I really like the new alien, whatever her name was. I don't remember her name.
She's a dancer, a super famous dancer. I can never remember her name.
Yeah, she was also in Kingsman.
I rage quit that movie too. So
that's reasonable. But she was the bad guy sidekick in that. So
the lady with the knife feet or whatever in the Kingsman.
Yes.
Okay. She was.
Yes.
She was cool in that movie.
Yeah, and she's super cool in this, and I really wanted the movie to just be about her.
I hope she gets to continue. That would be awesome.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
One of the reasons why I rage quit Into Darkness is because my other childhood hero was Amanda, and I accepted killing her off in the first movie to create this new universe. Fine, you're creating a new universe, that's fine. I'm really pissed about it, but fine. And then they go and they remake The Wrath of Khan. That's not a new story. That's not a new universe. Fuck you. Why did you kill Amanda for this? Still angry. And then, but then they go and make this movie, which is completely different. And I was very happy.
Yeah. So that sounds like Lear wants to see it at some point. So
I do want to see it. I did enjoy the last movies. And this one was written by Simon Pegg. So Simon Pegg's cool.
Yeah. And he hits, he hits all the good Star Trek notes. So,
and we all say that, but the movie has been a disappointment, and it has put the whole franchise into jeopardy. So, woo, we don't know anything about movies, I guess, or our tastes are not reflective of the broader interests.
You know, they're trying to really play the, I don't know, action movie thing with these Star Treks, and it's weird and awkward.
Because Star Trek is not an action movie thing.
Arrow, how was your weekend?
My weekend...
Wow, that was all from the intro question.
Yeah.
That was all the intro question. My weekend's been full of glitter, as will every weekend for the next 7 weeks. I kind of had a little freak out earlier this weekend when I realized that I have to get all of my nail polish in a FedEx box in 4 weeks. Holy shit! Yeah, that's super exciting. And by exciting, I mean, I want to die.
Oh, that kind of exciting.
Yeah, you only get to do just the fun stuff. You get to hand out pretties with, you know, I've got fancy bags with stickers with the logo on them and all that shit. Yeah.
How much are you bringing?
How much am I bringing? Well, right now I'm bringing 200 big bottles, 200 and little bottles. That's all I've got made. I've got my inventory plan is I need like 120 more. I haven't made any of my Fallout stuff. I'm concentrating on the Overwatch stuff because it's gotten the best reception so far. My personal preference is, of course, you know, the Dragon Aging, because I think those colors are spectacular. But people really like the over-the-top glitter in the Overwatch stuff.
Sure. Well, I mean, I guess if you're going to buy some, like, nerdy branded jewelry, you might as well go, or cosmetics, you might as well go for
right
it.
Well, I mean, I started out with the more subtle nerdy stuff because I thought that was funny. Look at me walking into a board meeting wearing nerdy nail polish, tee hee hee. But now I've just completely gone off the deep end.
That's how I described your diva nail polish, was mom's going to Hot Topic again, and it's amazing.
The diva is really spectacular. I think, honestly, Tracer and Mercy are the ones that are the most crazy over the top.
What about that glow-in-the-dark one you did?
The glow-in-the-dark one was special. I'm not going to be listing that one online, but I will be taking the bottles left over to GGC, so those will be special limited edition only for congoers.
Oh. Right. Yes, if you're in the Seattle area or you are going to Geek Girl Con in October, come to our booth. It's her booth. I'm just going to be there.
I like really wanted to make a snarky comment about you being able to finish the nail polish for Ori, but I decided not to troll your business's Instagram.
I actually said to some other friends that I had a custom request for some Ori nail polish, and I was trying to figure out if I could put something in it that would make your hands feel the way mine do when I'm playing the game when you're wearing the nail polish. But alas, no, I think that's illegal.
No Man's Sky came out while we missed the previous episode, by the way, because it was the Olympics, and come on, what do you want from us?
And also some of us were sick.
Yeah, that's true. I was not feeling, I was under the weather, but also Olympics, come on.
We could have tried that thing that we did before with the recording while watching video,
yeah,
but no.
That worked out really well. We just spent our whole time like cheering at the computer. Yeah, so we took a little break, but during the time we took a little break, No Man's Sky came out, and we've like been joking for years about, you know, No Man's Sky at E3 again, blah blah blah, when are they going to come out, is there even a game there? And it did come out, and it's been awkward and interesting. Now, am I correct that none of us own No Man's Sky?
I do.
See, I don't know the difference between No Man's Sky and Star Citizen, because everyone always talks about them in the same sentence. Star Citizen is the one that was kickstarted and will never actually exist. Is that right?
Right. Star Citizen is the one that is supposed to be kind of like Eve Space Combat, and you pay them thousands of dollars for a ship in a game that will never come out.
Yeah, and it's like the most money-making Kickstarter of all time or whatever.
No Man's Sky is the was billed as, and this is part of this leads into the topic here. So No Man's Sky was billed as infinite universe, infinite exploration.
So like Trade Wars. Are you too young for Trade Wars?
I'm not too young. I just never played it. They literally never described the gameplay of No Man's Sky, if I recall correctly. I mean, like, up until, like, earlier this year, people didn't know what the hell kind of game it was.
Okay, so this is also a vaporware game.
Do you remember the one, there were some really, really cool tech demos on PS4 where they were, like, on a planet, and then they, like, held down a zoom out button, and they zoomed out to the planet, to the galaxy, or to the solar system, the galaxy, to the universe, then they zoomed somewhere else and zoomed all the way in on that one, and all theoretically with no loading.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like a huge procedurally generated galaxy.
So it still is that. At some point they started...
It still is that, sort of.
Well, at some point they started layering in gameplay, and then there was some discussion about collecting resources and doing some stuff and just sort of having it be a bit like a survival game kind of, which is where it has kind of ended up, I think. I've only gotten to play it for about 4 to 6 hours, and it's real buggy still and crashed my PS4 multiple times.
Oh my god.
It's not great.
How is that even? I mean, don't you have to go through like this huge rigmarole with Sony to get a game on the PS4 in the first place?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure No Man's Sky was a launch. Like they talked about it during the launch of the PS4.
Oh,
potentially,
god.
It was like it. I mean, it's been what five? It's been at least 5 years that it's been coming out next year.
Yeah, it's been a long time. It's one of those perennial E3 trailers.
So the group that did it has done some other games. They're called Hello Games, mm-hmm. right? And I can't remember what else they've done, but they've done a bunch of other stuff that's like popular and successful. But yeah, there was a lot of hype around this game, and it's been like the number one most desired game coming out of E3 for several E3s in a row.
Right.
So,
and we all know what happens when a game has a lot of hype and a lot of people are excited about it, and then it comes out and it perhaps does not meet their expectation. And we know what happens is gamers, you know, take it in stride and really understand the development process and sit back and wait. No, that's not what happened. It, the usual nonsense happens. The thing with No Man's Sky, what I find interesting is that I tend to, as noticed by my snarky comments, I tend to almost always side with developers in issues like this, where I'm like, okay, well, you know, players need to settle down. And I think in this case, while yes, players do need to settle down, there can also be a really point to make that the game does not live up to what Hello Games themselves sort of indicated that the game would be. And they were not really good at communicating the changes to the game as it over time.
Yeah, we can be blunt. They dramatically oversold this game, and they sold their vision for it and like the board meeting pitch of this game to the public, and constantly and certainly well past the time when they must have known that it was not going to be that, right? That said, like, it's been buggy for me. I've enjoyed it so far. It is collecting.
It's been terribly buggy and has been crashing my console, which shouldn't be physically possible, but it's great!
The second time it didn't crash the console, it just seemed like it crashed the console, and then eventually sent a bug report. So then I played Dragon Age, but,
better choice.
Yeah, I mean, the game itself is pretty. It is really pretty. It's interesting to wander around and meet aliens that you can't communicate with and sort of learn their words piece by piece as you find, you know, objects and talk to them and stuff. There's almost no tutorial. You're just kind of dropped on this planet and, you know, figure it out kind of thing. And it's not complicated and you don't really die, right? Like, I think my spacesuit ran out of oxygen once, and I did die because I was halfway across the planet from my ship. But, like, it just... I don't know. I like the game as it is, and I think part of that is because I was like, No Man's Sky has promised me a lot, and then I stopped looking at what it told me it was promising me anymore probably 2 years ago, and I was like, that seems fun. And then before I bought it, I read a couple reviews, and people were like, well, it's not what they said it was going to be, but it's still pretty cool, and so I bought it, and yeah, it's pretty fun, but it's not the game they sold us.
Yeah, and that's definitely a fine line to walk. You know, they need to, and no one likes delivering bad news of, you know, hey, this game that we said was going to be, you know, your all-encompassing space simulator has turned out just to be like a really cool, I don't know, planet visiting thing. and it does, like, it looks gorgeous. The screenshots look gorgeous.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah. I'm sure it runs really nicely on a nice high-end PC, too.
Have you started, like, people have kind of said that they get, it's really cool for the first couple hours, but then they get kind of tired and the planets are not that different. Have you run into that or?
No, because I don't think I've played it long enough.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah, I've also, because I picked it up Friday night, so I only had a, you know, few hours yesterday and this morning to play with it, so. Yeah, and there is like they kind of build it as like endless, right? But then there's kind of a story, but not really, or there's like somehow you get some objectives and then the objectives sort of like basically drive you to space, explore to the center of the galaxy, and then something happens. I don't really know, and it's like 10 to 15 hours if you do it that way, so that's
wow
fine.
Endless or 10 to 15 hours, that's kind of a well, that's a big deal, I think. There
it is, except for the fact that much like Dragon Age, 10 to 15 hours is the sort of linear follow the clues and what the thing is telling you to do, or you can just go fly around, and every planet has different species and different, you know, I mean, presumably the Dragon Age 2 issue exists where there's only so many ways to put the same tiles together, and that's why people say it feels same. But yeah, I mean, you can just go catalog stuff endlessly like you did in Mass Effect 1. And we all got really bored doing mm-hmm. it.
Do you get to name planets? Is that right?
Yep. Yeah. You get to name everything. So you can change the name of, I think, all of the creatures you can change the names of that you
but
see.
But it's multiplayer?
The planets. It's not multiplayer. This is actually one of the biggest sticking points is that they always said everybody's in the same universe. It's infinite universe. You will probably never see another person. But if you do, it's going to be awesome. Or you might run into the part of the galaxy that somebody else passed through 2 days ago and named everything, right?
Okay.
And it's not. It's all single player instance. Like, I have my own world on my machine and you have yours. And
That seems like a big change. That seems like a big feature that they should maybe have told people.
Yeah, kind of. Like, I'm not sure functionally it matters.
Yeah, I'm
right?
not sure functionally because it matters they, either, but that seems yeah. like a really big deal.
Yeah.
This is a multiplayer
well, a lot of people
game.
Were.
Oh, surprise, it's not actually multiplayer.
Yeah.
That seems like a big deal to me. And I could see getting annoyed with, oh, by the way, this is multiplayer. Here you are playing and installing it. No, sorry, it's just single player. That seems like kind of
yeah.
Like, I understand where the developers are coming from. Things get removed, things get changed, scope creep, timing, all that shit. That's fine. I have no problem with that. But billing something as multiplayer and then not having multiplayer, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I care less about that one, I think, because the multiplayer was always, you might have one or two multiplayer experiences in your 100 hours of playing this game. And,
right.
Although I guess if like you did, then you could like hang out with that person potentially and follow them around.
Right.
Yeah. I think there have been cases of people coordinating on their Twitch channels to like land on the same planet and then they discover that it's not multiplayer, which has been a little awkward.
Yeah.
I think there's lessons to take from all sides of this about, you know, communicating changes to your game. One of the issues that they're having right now is they're not being terribly reactive after the launch of communicating when and if some of this stuff will go in that they said would go in and whether there's a plan for that. And on the other hand, you know, I mean, we've talked about don't pre-order and try not to buy into the hype. But it's like you said, you have done really good hype management for this game. You've heard about it. You kind of followed it a little bit. But you didn't get, you know. And I think there's something to be said for that as from the consumer perspective of, you know, hey, let's control our hype.
I mean, I there is, but I don't want to put this on consumers when there's big money. I mean, yeah, I know they're indie, they're 15 or 16 person studio, right? But there's somebody out there and his job is to run around and get people hyped up on this game. So, yeah, I can't put it on the people who are being marketed at for listening to the promises and tales that people are marketing at them with. Right. Yes, we should be skeptical. Yes, etc. But if they tell you, you know, a couple months out, like the part of the reason to be skeptical is like the bugs and stuff in this game. Like you can't tell that before you see before the game comes out, right? And so that's part of the pre-order thing. Whether the game is the game that they have been showing off and discussing, that like I feel like if the core gameplay might not be fun, but if the core gameplay is just different from what they've been advertising, that's a little bit bait and switchy, which
yeah, sucks. I'm with Ellie on this one.
Yeah, that's fair. That's totally fair. I think I tend to come down pretty hard on consumers, and this might be a definite case of poor...
Yeah. I mean, we don't need to rage all over the internet about like, hey, we're lied to, throw them all under the bridge. Like,
there's never a place for death threats to developers. Or anyone.
Yeah.
There's never a place for death threats for anyone, for any reason.
Right, but there is room to be unhappy with how, yes, what has actually come out.
It is totally valid to get pissed off that the marketing for this game is completely different. You see this in movies sometimes, too, where they cut the trailer such that it's not the movie.
My God,
like,
yeah.
The most egregious example I can think of is a couple of years back, they made a movie about the movie version of The Bridge to Terabithia. And you were not a teenage girl, Ellie, so you maybe never read Bridge to Terabithia, but I see Lior making the face. Yeah, did you ever see any of the trailers for The Bridge to Terabithia movie? And it was like, the tagline was rollicking, fun time, fantasy, adventure, and shit. No, that is not what Bridge to Terabithia is about.
No, it's one of those horrible, tragic children's books that lives with you forever.
I know it
wasn't even that they changed the movie. The movie was pretty faithful to the book. They just cut that trailer like it was Hogwarts. And oh no, yeah, maybe it's Hogwarts with tuberculosis.
Hogwarts with tuberculosis is a good tagline. I'd watch that.
That's my new band name.
Yeah, the worst one for me was Three Kings. Three Kings was like, they took like the four sort of buddy comedy like joke lines.
And no, it's actually an incredibly bleak war movie.
Yeah, yeah. And I went in, I was like, oh, this is going to be a sweet. Then I was like, oh my God, what did I just do to myself?
Dear Jesus God, my feelings. I don't, yeah.
Yeah.
I also saw that movie in the theater.
That was terrible.
Yeah, that's actually, I recall that.
Like, I think it was a good movie, too. Like, I think other people who, like, kind of knew what to expect were like, that movie was good.
People who knew it was a tragic war film were like, that's the best tragic war film I've ever seen. I'm like, I thought it was funny.
Yeah, it was like George Clooney and Matt Damon were supposed to tell jokes.
Yeah, no. Instead, they get pieces blown off. It's not not what I was expecting. Not what I signed up for.
Yeah, so that, I felt really bad about that. I didn't feel as bad about No Man's Sky because I didn't follow it. You know, I'm also, my life has changed so that I don't follow almost any of this kind of news nearly as closely as I did 5 years ago or 3 years ago.
Welcome to parenthood.
Yeah, so that actually insulates me a little bit. And I can totally see being more frustrated what back in the days when I was pre-ordering things.
I think that's legitimate. You guys probably convinced me to be a little less harsh on the consumer side. But I mean, you know, and then you see like the incredibly nitpicky, like carefully researched Reddit posts. And I'm just like, ugh, that would be so demoralizing as like a developer to see that. I would just be, it would make me crazy.
I mean, I don't want to ever be held to the things that my CEO actually talks about in public about what my company does. So I completely understand where these people are coming from, because he, you know, their livelihood is to get people excited, and get them to buy in, right? So good on this guy, good on these guys for doing a good job.
They did a good job of getting everyone all excited. No, it's true, and I think the point was made in the Kotaku article about this that we were all looking at earlier by Jason Schreier, that the kind of thing that you pitch to, like, investors, or as you said earlier, the boardroom, yeah, it shouldn't necessarily translate directly to what you pitch to your potential consumers. And, you know, you want to get your investors all excited, and here's what we're going to do, and here's our big plans. But then you start putting that out there, and people start taking you at your exact word.
Yeah, I mean, this is part of the Kickstarter problem, too, right? Like, I don't think No Man's Sky wasn't a Kickstarter.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
But you did see this with Broken Age, where it took forever, right, to make the game, because all of a sudden they had this giant budget and they hadn't planned the development hours that would go with, you know, like a AAA budget game.
Yeah, they also did stupid stuff like they used stretch goals in Kickstarters in a way that they were sort of the poster child for learning why to not add features as part of your stretch,
right,
goals, because it's like scope creep is real anyway.
Yep.
So why not let the community tell us how to scope creep even more? That's the,
yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And and people, you know, I mean, if you're not in development, and it's really easy to kind of go, well, you know, just sit your team down. It should take like a week. Spend a week, add this feature. I don't see what the problem is. And
yeah,
it's very easy to kind of think that, and there's a lot of stuff that goes into coding that makes,
yeah,
it more than
I have some friends that that do contract work, primarily development work, and the only estimates they give to people is 1 week, one quarter, or forever. Because realistically, like, if it is trivial, it will take at least a week. And if it has any complexity at all, by the time that you get it integrated into everything else, you're 3 months down the road, and other people have gotten their hands on it. Era's nodding too. She knows.
I refuse to give estimates. I won't do it.
Yeah.
My estimate,
yeah,
is always 4 weeks. For a straight up, I'm just a front end developer. I mean, I don't even do heavy duty back end coding. I just do light back end coding, and like, just for, you know, cross browser, CSS, jQuery compatible front end bullshit, 4 weeks, period, the end. If you want, you know, responsive design, if you want, you know, anything else, then it goes to 8 weeks. More than that, it's 12 weeks. That's it. And then, yeah, that's,
yeah,
Scotty taught me that one. Thanks again, Star Trek.
Right. And the 12-week thing is, like, part of the reason they say, you know, forever or a year in this context is because by the time you've scoped out a project that takes three months...
Especially in my company, like, there's no owner anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody's got anything,
right,
behind it.
Right. Somebody's quit, or like somebody else has come in. Somebody's seen it and they've been like, oh, well, can you just change this, this, and this? And you're like, sure, but that's another six or 12 weeks, right?
Yeah,
and
that's,
like,
great.
It's, yeah,
got to completely restructure the entire database. That's fine. No problem.
So yeah, I mean, I don't want to come down hard on the actual people doing development here, right? Because I get it. It's the marketing and sales organizations, and their job's hard too.
Oh,
like,
yeah, sure.
Yeah,
no, I mean, I think no one's like a villain here. It's just a bunch of, you know, sort of slightly mismanaged on a number of different perspectives. But I mean, that's the age old story in any sort of software or software as a service or coding, which is the struggle between marketing and the engineers. And I think that outside of video games, that applies just as well. Marketing, sorry.
The part where I think that this particular case is really bad is that there isn't communication, and even outside of the upfront pre-release communication, because I can even see like how that last month, 2 months, whatever, is just like heads down, don't talk to your family or anybody,
you're sleeping,
right,
in the office,
right? And but now it's been, I don't know, a couple weeks or a week and a half, and they have, like, literally not said anything. And radio silence after this, like, that just feels bad.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have to come. It could even be like, look, yeah, we didn't get everything, or our vision changed by the end because we realized that these things weren't actually adding to the experience, so we wanted to build something that we could deliver, right? Whatever. And whether they're going to add things back or not, it doesn't matter. But letting people know where you stand, like seems like just a smart play, because now there are way more people that will just stay away because they don't know what they're buying, right? Because of the bad press.
Yeah, and the number one sort of principle of calming down upset customers is to acknowledge how they feel and be like, you know, hey, I know this was disappointing. We're sorry we didn't get this in, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's really all they have to say. And I think that would go a long way to rebuilding some trust.
Don't give me more promises about what's going to be in or when it's going to be in, unless it's like, you know, I don't need that, right? Like, in these situations.
Yeah, know, just, I agree.
Just tell me you understand. That's cool. Like, let's just be friends again.
We just want to be friends. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So it'll be interesting to see how this happens. It's too bad. I've been sort of looking forward to this game, and I think it's not necessarily, judging by what is actually released, what I was hoping for, but that's fine.
Yeah, well, if you like the collecting resources and combination aspects of Minecraft, it doesn't have the freeform building that Minecraft does, but some of the crafting stuff, it's nowhere near as deep, so don't hold me to that, right? But just generally speaking, like, that kind of thing in a, you know, sci-fi-y setting, so far it has been that when it has not been crashing.
When it works, which is rare.
My understanding is that is the one place where they actually have been responsive, is trying to knock. They've released at least two patches since the game came out, mostly focused around bug fixes and crashes. And I'm playing on PS4. I don't know what the experience is on PC.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I have heard that too. They have been, you know, pushing out patches and stuff. So it's not like they disappeared forever. It's just with these larger scale issues as far as points. Yeah.
If and when the game works, I will happily spend my 10 or 15 hours on it and feel like I got my money's worth.
Nice.
So.
You'll have to update us on the center of the universe. That's good. Arrow, yeah. You've been playing Overwatch lately, and you've been really liking it, and it's kind of freaking me out.
It's actually honestly freaking me out, to be frank. I got into Overwatch from a purely capitalist perspective, the same deal with Fallout 4. But the character designs are so evocative, I couldn't stay away. And so there's exactly enough story in it that it brings out, like, the Warcraft 2 nostalgia in me. It's exactly... I had forgotten how good Blizzard is with doling out little bits of story before they get all too up in their own ass and fuck it up. Cough, cough, Legion, cough, cough.
How is the story delivered in Overwatch? I'm confused. Because it's like a first-person shooter, right?
Right? So I was like, how can anyone play this? There's no story in this. Well, there's character background on the website, right? That for just little bitty... rundowns on the kind of person you're playing as. And then, like, I think Team Fortress did this too. They're releasing little animated shorts. And I don't know if they got, like, a Pixar director or what, but Jesus Christ, 7 minutes of feelings. And it's insane. I highly recommend The Last Bastion, which is the one that they just released, about a robot. Oh my god, there's no dialogue, and I cried like a baby for 7.5 minutes for no reason. And, like, I've seen these same feelings on the internet where you watch The Last Bastion and you cry like a baby and it's uncontrollable sobbing, and then you play the game and the opposing team has a Bastion and fuck you! And that's pretty much what happens. But they do a really clever thing where there's 30 seconds at the start of every match, sometimes 45, depending on what match you're on, where you're getting the team together, setting up your defenses, going your point, way, whatever. And during that time, the characters will talk to each other, especially characters who had been involved before. And, like, there's the Edgelord Reaper, who literally is a flesh-eating zombie, right? Undead, fucked up is what that is. Actually, the character is completely fucked up. And on the write-up on the website, it's like, name unknown, age unknown, he wears a mask, he looks like, you know, a 14-year-old boy, thinks he's the coolest thing ever and would have tattoos of him, and usually 14-year-old boys play him. If someone is on your team is playing him, and someone on your team is playing Ana, who is Sniper Grandma, one of the original founders of Overwatch 30 years ago, they have a dialogue where she goes, Gabriel, what happened to you? And meanwhile, everyone else is like, what the fuck? You do... And it's really cool the way the story is dribbled out in these little drips and drabs. And, like, Mercy, the literal angel, is actually, like, 40 years old, and she looks like she's 20, and they comment on that? Like, dude, is that good genes? Or May, the adorable cryogenically frozen Chinese optimist? This poor woman was got cryogenically frozen in Antarctica, and like in Fallout, everyone else's pods were destroyed, and she's the only one left alive, and she comes back 30 years in the future. She's like, my Angela, you look exactly the same. You haven't changed a day. And Mercy is, teehee, no, I'm not at all an evil genius. Why would you say that? And it's really clever. I had completely forgotten that sometimes Blizzard is really good at this.
How's the community like when you're playing? Because I was kind of worried that by this point in, people have gotten good enough that it's a bad time to start playing.
Well, here's the thing. I have been playing the shit out of it for the last, 3 weeks. Can't stop playing this game. And it's interesting. Usually I can't play first-person shooters. I get terrible motion sickness and vertigo. Like, I can't do even 20 minutes of Bioshock. I am on the floor. Just can't do it. I guess the FOV is and coloring is set exactly right in this game, and it doesn't make me sick. I do have to stop every couple of matches to rest my eyes, but otherwise, it's totally fine. It's like magic. I don't know what sorcery they've done. But, so I've been playing the shit out of it for 3 weeks, and I just got the first, your improper, your... all so terrible, such noobs, right before podcast. That was the first time I'd ever seen anyone. Usually, you know, the opposing team is congratulating you on a good match. It's really, I'm not in competitive play. Not high enough level for that yet. So I don't know if the community changes there at all.
Have you typed like GGEZ at anybody?
Have not typed GGEZ at anyone. I have typed GZ with a smiley face, or GG with a smiley face, and meant it, because I've played some really great games and super close. There are a lot of, they've balanced a lot of really, they're all different characters. And I can tell that I have been playing one character too much, because when someone else plays them and plays them poorly, I get angry.
Oh no.
No, motherfucker, Zarya can bury your other people. What is wrong with you? Really nice to see body type diversity in a game. It's super, I mean, the fact that there's an actual mom in the game.
I will say Blizzard has done a really good job at the diverse characters in Overwatch, and I think there's someone that will appeal to everyone, and they've done a really good job with that.
And there's a character I love that I cannot play, and it makes me irrationally angry when someone else plays her and plays her really well because I can't do it. It makes me so mad. God damn it. Widowmaker, why? Why? Or where I will pick a healer and I'll be the first one to do it, and then someone else will come in and pick a healer. I'm like, no, I was here first. And then it's kind of like you show up at prom in the same dress and you try and figure out which one of you will blink first, which is part of the fun of the game. Who's going to change? I don't know. Wait. And then you end up with a team of all McCree, and what are you going to do? Anyway, even if you don't like first-person shooters, I highly recommend giving it, like, at least a try, because it does not affect me the way other first-person shooters do, and the differing kinds of gameplay. Like, playing a tank is super fun. I'm a terrible shot, which is why I've never liked first-person shooters, which is why, again, Widowmaker, knife in my heart. Can't play her, because I can't shoot the broadside of a barn, and she's a sniper. So the differing gameplay styles, they let you keybind everything. Fuck you, Team Fortress. So it's been super fun.
And wait, also, how does Team Fortress doesn't let you keybind?
I could not re-keybind the movement keys off WASD in Team Fortress.
Okay. I think you can.
Well, I couldn't when I first tried to play it, a million years ago.
Yeah. You probably played it on a Mac too, so I don't know.
No, it was on PC, but it could have been I was stuck in tutorial, and you can't keybind until you get out of tutorial, but I couldn't get out of the tutorial because I can't use WASD.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, because it's all in the same engine as Half-Life, and you can Counter-Strike, and so I'm pretty sure you can keybind everything.
There are two characters in Overwatch that are based on speed, and I can't play those. I still get vertigo with those.
So that's actually probably part of the problem, then, because a lot of games, especially any of the Quake games, are sort of known for speed, and they push the edges of speed, and that's kind of like their thing. But a lot of first-person shooters, the movement speed is really fast.
Yeah, like Genji and Tracer are two speed-based characters, and I have trouble even playing against them because they kill me a lot because they're really fast and really deadly. And so it will replay you, like, when you die while you're waiting to respawn because they have to give Mercy time to resurrect you and get play of the game. Will play the kill cam for whoever killed you so you know how you died and can theoretically learn from that. But whenever it's a Genji or a Tracer, I can't watch it. I have to look away because they move too fast and I get a terrible headache. It's like, yes, yeah, Genji fair. Has I... killed me again. I'm glad to know that. Thanks.
I kind of want to know how it plays from the perspective of somebody who does like first-person shooters. And like, I know that I could go on the
Mr. Arrow has been first-person shooting his entire life. Yeah. Like, his best friend he met playing Tribes 15 years ago, and they're still super close. He bought Overwatch, and I logged into his account to find out if I could play it, because I was super in love with the character designs, which I looked up purely for capitalistic reasons. So he and I have been playing together every night, and he is really good at the fast people and the snipers and...
I've heard it's hard on computers.
Is it hard on computers? It's not hard on
mine. I don't know. Okay. Maybe it's just if you ultra settings it.
I have a computer built specifically to take hot-ass screenshots of Dragon Engine Inquisition.
Perhaps the better way to put it is Vajra's computer is really mad when we try and play any new game, and he runs Overwatch without a problem. Actually, we were talking today about how we've both gone back to WoW recently, and it's kind of fun playing a 10-year-old game because our computers run it, and we can pretend how fancy our computers are, but then we try and run, like, you know, Witcher 3 or Dragon Age Inquisition, and our computers are just like, no.
I'm not sure my computer could run WoW at max settings these days.
That's really? Just depressing. Really? Yeah.
That sounds like a personal problem.
Yeah. You should feel bad about that. That's a bad thing, and you should feel bad about
it. I mean, nah.
Big thumbs down.
Yeah, big thumbs down. But so, okay, maybe not on your computer, but on most people's computers, Overwatch should run fine.
Well, I mean, you can turn down spell effects and stuff. I mean, you...
Yeah, but then what's the point?
What do you mean, what's the point? Well, I mean, it's not as pretty, but you don't need to.
Why did they like turn spell effects down in WoW and stuff? And it was terrible. It was really sad. Like, I didn't see all the mushrooms grow when I cast spells.
Okay, good.
Tell me about your Inquisition playthrough in like 30 seconds before Leor shuts us off.
I am trying to do companion side quests.
Are you doing the gather quests or the actual name quests? You're still doing the gather quests to make.
Like half and half. So I just did Cole's quest, which was really interesting. I just did Sarah's quest, which I really liked, except then at the end she greatly disapproved, which made me super sad because I like spent a bunch of time making her happy. Because I was just trying. Yeah, I didn't
let her beat the shit out of that guy, did you?
No. She fucked that guy up. But it was afterwards when I was like, this was a clusterfuck. Let's try to not like this at heaven again. And she's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I'm like, you suck. Why are you making me, why are you putting me in bad situations? And so she didn't like that.
Can't think why. Did you have Cole stay a spirit or did you make him a real boy?
He's like Pinocchio.
You made him a real boy?
Yeah. Cause
because Varric told you to make him a real boy?
Yes, because Varric was way more convincing than Solas.
Fuck Solas.
Like, I don't like, okay, so I was going to ask you about this, but we can do it real quick, guys. Like, you, I know you've recommended the Solas romance a couple of times, and like, I hope he gets more interesting, because he's
here's the thing. I appreciate Solas. I really like the way he's written, And if you are playing a romance with him, they go out of their way to do particular things with his animations.
Oh, like, okay, that's cool.
There's a sequence at the very, very end of the very, very end where his animation is very different between a romance soulless, a friend soulless, and an enemy soulless. Like, the way his body language, and he's got just tremendous motion capture. It's really well done. Super impressive. I appreciate him. I want to punch him until candy comes out. But I really like him as a character.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fair. And I think Blackwell left because he's now an ex in my party, but maybe he's just off doing Grey Warden shit. I don't really know. And I don't really care either.
You should go and look for him. Go to the stables. No, seriously. This is an important quest. Go to the stables and talk to people so that you can hear about this. Because it comes up with great banter.
Okay. So that's kind of where I am. And then I'm tracking down Corypheus something. I don't know. There's some spend 40 power points or whatever, go do some quests. So I basically gave up on doing all the side quests. I'm just going to do enough to get my companions up, and then I will figure out if I want to do any more than that.
Yeah, do all the companion quests. There are zones where you don't even have to go if you're not doing a completionist playthrough. So don't worry about those. Make sure you...
Cassandra makes me go to almost all of them, so...
Well, Cassandra, it's your girlfriend. What are you going to do? I mean, she could break you. She could break you with two fingers and a twist tie.
I can't not do Cassandra's side.
Yeah, do Cassandra's quest. Do all the companion quests. Making Cole a real boy is important. Make sure you talk to Dorian. His personal quest is super important also.
I did his already.
With his dad?
Yeah. That was the first one I did.
Ramon Tigrum is a really great actor. I really like him.
Are you guys still talking about Dragon Age?
No.
No. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention in the intro that I also watched Stranger Things, and that was really kind of scary.
It was scary if you were 12 in 1982.
Well, this is Ellie. Remember, this is Ellie. It was very scary for Ellie.
Scary is way scarier than anything I watch intentionally.
Are they doing all of these, like, retro set horror films because they're too lazy to figure out a way to deal with cell phones? Yeah, that's what I thought. Because if that had been modern day, if these had been kids with cell phones, there's no story there. If the internet had existed, there would be no story there. So they're setting stuff in, you know, in the 80s and all that, so they don't have to deal with technology.
I thought Stranger Things was okay. But I was not as enamored with it as apparently most people were. Like, it was good. I liked Winona Ryder, glad you're back. You know, but I just kind of, like, I'm slightly over the we're so retro that we could have actually been done in the time. Like, it could have actually been out in 1982 or whenever it was set. And I feel like we've moved on since then, and I'd like to see some new take on things.
I had a similar conversation with some friends about, like, just generally speaking, I'm getting done with the retro nostalgia trip bullshit, and I don't know if it's just because I'm now of the age where I'm the target audience for all of the things, or because we actually are in a period where we are aggressively retro nostalgia plays. But either way, like, it's frustrating because, like, I enjoyed Stranger Things a bunch, and I did not... It wasn't as referential as, like, Ready Player One felt to me.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I agree with that, yeah.
But I know that it was very referential, right? And,
a lot of the references were more to... more in its construction for me. As a horror sci-fi buff, there were a lot of representative camera angles, some lighting tricks that they used that you would expect in, like, you know, a 1983 John Carpenter movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, and there was at least one scene straight out of E.T.
I found it really Spielbergian. I was getting, like, my thing I was saying is, like, Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Mr. Ayo said Winona Ryder is going to be making Mashed Potato Tower anytime now.
It's just at the point where, like, we have such fidelity in this retro stuff now, and this is a blight on the horror movie scene at the moment, because everybody does indie retro horror, and
it's because they don't want to deal with cell phones.
Well, a lot of it is that. I mean, any horror movie now, they have to come up with a reason why you have no cell phone in, like, the first 10 minutes.
Right?
But That's a problem, and I'm getting to the point where I'm like, well, it, you know, if this movie could have, or you know, series could have actually have been done back in the day, what new thing are you adding to this aside from a killer intro font? Which is a killer intro font.
It is a sweet,
and the music is awesome.
The soundtrack was very well done. The score was spectacular. You know, huge thumbs up to all the child actors in this show. They were all terrific. Yeah, totally. I knew every single one of those kids.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, we're looking at it as we are the target audience. It's rare for me as a nerdy lady who is also a mom to find something so specifically created for me.
Yeah, well, that is a luxury that Netflix has with these kinds of things. They don't have to. They already know that exact target audience exists, and they can predict pretty reasonably who's going to watch it and what else you've watched, right? So they, when they go and make these things or commission them, they can target pretty well.
This kind of reminds me of something related to an announcement from Blizzard this week. It was relation to Legion, which is that in the first patch, it will be Return to Karazhan. And at this, okay, I loved Karazhan. I loved it so much. And my first instinct is like, yeah, it's going to be 9 bosses, 5-man instance. Sounds right up my alley. I love Karazhan. Let's go back. But on the other hand, like, since Wrath of the Lich King, like, we just... It's really weird in the game now because there's like 2 Dalarans, there's 2 Karazhans, there's 2 Draenors. Like, we're really getting duplicates of everything. There's 3 different versions of Onyxia.
Like, why are people excited to pay for something that they've already paid for? They keep doing this and people keep getting excited about it, and I don't understand.
But it's not the exact same thing. It's, you know.
They did CG and ZA again already. They're doing all of this. They did Onyxia already. Why? They're not building new raids. They're just tweaking the ones that they've already fucking made. And people are excited about this.
Because I want to go back.
You can go back. It's still there. You can solo it now.
It'll be fun to go back with other people?
You can go back with other people and you'll go through it really fast. People will still get caught by the big bad wolf. It's fine.
I don't think that's the case now because we're like 40 levels above that now.
When are they putting in new C'Thun?
Probably like next patch. I mean,
I do think that they need to start coming up with some new stuff, and they're relying on the nostalgia too hard. But on the other hand, it is nostalgia.
Well, I mean, you're also playing it at the level of nostalgia is works for you, right? Because like you are not a person who's going to go spend. I mean, and doing it as a 5-man actually helps with this because, I mean, we already spent a year and a half, 2 years running Karazhan, and I didn't even run it much, but I already feel like I ran it enough, right?
Shackle macros.
But if you go back as like a 5-man that you have to run once or twice, so they can like. I guess they're doing like super duper hard mode 5-mans now. I don't know, whatever they call it.
Yeah, Mythic.
Ultra max to the extreme.
I like that they're doing the smaller group content. I think there's going to be a lot more focus on 5-mans in this expansion, which is cool because that's kind of my bag now. And yeah, so I am a little bit torn because, like, you know, and if it had been any other instance, I probably would have been in the Arrow crowd of being like, you know, fuck you, let's get some new content. But on the other hand, Karazhan, you guys.
I want to do the Colosseum again.
No. No, you don't.
No, I do. It was fun. I had so much fun.
The Trial of Crusader?
Yeah, I did. I really did. No, that's like when I came into my own as a raider, so finally, after like 3 expansions of trying. So.
I'm not... I have nothing to say because it'll give away a spoiler for the pre-patch content, so...
I don't care.
Tyrion Fordring dies. It was a terrible, terrible, shallow death where just like they're like, there's Tyrion Fordring. Oh, he's dead. Some monster like shot him with eye beams and then he got dropped to the bottom of a goopy ocean. But now I go back to the Colosseum and he's all like, everyone must fight and champion to be my champions. And I'm like, screw you, Tyrion, you're dead. You can't make me fight.
Yeah, they have like serious continuity problems.
That's why I stopped playing. That's again, Overwatch, exactly enough story to be interesting, not enough story for them to fuck it up.
All right. We are wrapping up this episode. We recorded much longer than we usually do because we had such a good time. We'll be back in 2 weeks. You can find us at leorblog.com/catcontextpodcast. I'm on Twitter at Hey It's Leor. Aralade's on Twitter at Aralade. Ellie is not. He's just not.
I'm just not.
But yeah, and we'll do episode 100 sometime. We say that like every 2 weeks, but we will.
Maybe we'll do episode just an episode.
Maybe you should come up to Seattle and we'll do it like on a Friday night or something.
Come to Geek Girl Con.
It was a proposed possibility, but it didn't go anywhere. I tried.
That's fair. We almost had an in-person podcast, but we'll figure something out. Maybe we can Skype you.
We'll just have to all end up at Arrow's backyard.
I have a totally sweet backyard, you guys. Watch is going to be here in a couple weeks. It'll be awesome. Uh-huh.
Not in the summer because it's hot.
Yeah.
No, but autumn is pretty good.
That's it. Thank you for watching and/or listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Thank you, both of you, for coming on this show today.
And we did your homework.
We totally did your homework.
I know. I assigned last-minute homework, and you guys did it. You've made this podcast creator proud. All right. Goodbye. Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.